Yeah, hello everyone. It's Dr. Joanne Dahlketter with Performing Edge Coaching International, and today is March 11th, 2016. So today we're going to be talking about some marketing and SEO techniques, which SEO stands for Search Engine Optimization, for those of you who might not know, and how to get people to your website, how to get more traffic and people that, clients that might be interested in working with you. So welcome, Michelle. And yeah, and we've got other people joining us here. So we're first I wanted to, of course, the main reason is to answer your questions and anything that comes up. Last time we talked about sports parents, too, and that's a really great topic. I just wanted to follow up with that also and mention a couple other things with being a sports parent that are good to emphasize. I think one of the things that I wanted to just finish up from last time with that was to some of the tips for your parents are not, to tell them to not try to live out your dream through your child. I mean, that's a huge one that parents, they wanted to, maybe they wanted to be a top athlete themselves but never got there. And so sometimes they pressure their child into doing that or pressure them into doing a certain sport. So if you can find, and maybe the child doesn't want to do that particular sport. And so it's really important to, sometimes the parent cares more about the child's sporting achievement than they do, then it's probably time to, ask them to take a step back kind of thing. A lot of parents fall into that category and let the child create their own path instead of the one that the parents designed for them. And also understanding most kids, you want them to be able to play professionally, but sometimes a lot of kids won't be able to get to the professional level or to the college level, and so the chances are fairly low. You can still hold that up as a goal, but it's really important to emphasize the learning and the character building in the sport rather than just the fact that they might get a scholarship or they might get be able to professionally play. Because sometimes the talent isn't there or the opportunities aren't there. So, and also allow for multi-sport participation, I think, if it's possible for your family, for the kids' families, allow the child to play more than one sport so they can discover different kinds of things and they can discover what they're good at. Another suggestion is to find the right coach. Tell them to... sometimes it's a coach is getting in the way. I've had lots of clients that come to me because of the coach isn't really a good one, or they're favoring other players, that kind of thing. So sometimes it can be just a change in a coach or change in a team that can make a huge difference. So that's something to consider with parents as well. And ask yourself these kind of questions about your child's current coach. Does your child enjoy playing for this coach? Does the coach talk to them like they're just kids? Does the coach care about the players? Is the coach coaching for the right reasons, to help them with learning and having fun and building character rather than just winning? Is the coach only focusing on the best players? And is the coach treating the season like NBA playoffs, where every game is critical? So if you feel the coach isn't right for the new basketball, don't hesitate to, help them find a new team. And then just one other thing is to let the coach do the coaching. Oftentimes parents want to be the sole coach, and just maybe in a few situations if the parent happens to be a professional athlete in that area, they might be the best coach, but a lot of times the biggest problem with parents coaching their kids from the sideline is that the you know, the player will end up doing, will end up with the coach telling them to do one thing and the parents telling them to do something else, and then they're divided in between. So it can be really difficult there. So it places the child in a really horrible position of being forced to choose who they're going to make happy and who they're going to disappoint, rather than just you know, following one set of directions. So it's pressure that no child should really have to deal with in youth sports. The parents should be more in a supportive role. And so telling the parents, if you can't help, you know, if the parent isn't going to be doing coaching, you can ask the parent to volunteer to coach the team at the start of the season, or just do some assistant coaching or that kind of thing. So, and then if there's a coach that is difficult, don't be afraid to raise issues with the coach. It's okay for parents to talk to a coach about problems that they're having on the team, or that their child maybe isn't getting enough playing time or that kind of thing. It's okay to talk with them. So those are just some things I wanted to follow up on from last time, from our talk about sports parents. And then I wanted to talk about SEO and getting on the on different things that you can do to help with your you know, help people get to your own website. So one of the things to chat about is that I wanted to talk about is, you know, getting found. Maybe you have websites, or you may just have, you know, different profiles on your social media pages, and that's fine. Yeah, did someone just join us? Is that Michelle?
It's me, Dr. Joanne. It doesn't matter what device I'm on. For some reason, my Skype just cuts out. It's weird.
Oh, okay, no problem.
Yeah, it's me calling back.
Yeah, okay, good. So I was going to say that business, basically, so now switching over to the topic of SEO, search engine optimization and marketing, so that we can get more clients to you. You know, any business comes down to basically three things, you know, traffic, you know, getting people to your website or to you, getting more, by traffic, I mean, you know, just people, more eyes looking at what you have to offer. And then leads, that's people sort of raising their hand and saying they're interested, you know, specific people that really want to work with you or are interested in you. And then sales, or, you know, people actually buying what you have to offer, your coaching. And it doesn't matter if you're, you know, selling a course or if you're coaching or if you have a book, you know, you need people coming in, raising their hands, saying they're interested in working with you or buying your stuff. So, you know, you might get confused about where should I get my traffic from for my website. You know, there's all these places, YouTube and Facebook and Twitter and Google Plus. There's you know, and then there's different email services, and Snapchat and Instagram and LinkedIn. And so there's all these different places. And I think, you know, so the question is, which of these should you be on, and how should you use them? So let's just take a step back for a moment and kind of understand what's really happening here. I think often, you know, us as entrepreneurs or coaches, we get caught up in the day-to-day running of our business. We forget to step back and think about the long-term strategy. So do you need to be on all those sites that I just mentioned, all the different social media places? I think no. And do you even need to be on all the big ones? I think not necessarily. At the end of the day, the sites, well, there's three main things that all these social media sites have. They have one or the other of these three things. One is interaction, you know, interacting with different people on the sites, like Facebook is all about, you know, chatting with people. Another one is offering information. And the third one is entertainment. That's why people go to all the different media sites, is either to get information or entertainment or interaction. And some people, some will, you know, fit better with your style and what you do than others. And some just won't work with for you. Some people just aren't, you know, don't want to bother with Twitter or don't want to bother with Facebook or certain things. And you should, I think, you know, it's best to be on the ones that work for you. You know, for example, YouTube seems to work well for me. I've had, made lots of videos and get lots of views over time. People, you know, get to know me, like me, trust me with, you know, videos quicker than other things. And I'm better at providing useful information than I am at, say, entertaining or making people laugh. And you can do that well on YouTube, you know, offering information. It's harder on Twitter because you've only got the 140 characters, and so people might not get to know you. You could offer a comment, but it's hard to offer real information. So, you know, that doesn't fit. Twitter doesn't fit my style as well. Some will play better with your style than others. And so some just may, others, you know, some just may not work for you. So I would, you know, for example, I get, with YouTube, I get, I don't know, lots of views per month on the videos, and then you can get through that, you can get subscribers, and then through that you can get you know, people to buy your items or go to your website and then find out more about you. It's a great way to begin a conversation with someone. I'm better at providing useful information than I am at, you know, entertaining people. So you need to find, so the key is to find the fit for you, that what networks fit you best and that get you the results, and then push hard on those and not waste time on the ones that don't work for you. So if you're more into writing, then LinkedIn is helpful, or Facebook or Twitter, offering it, that kind of information, well, or interaction. And if you're good at you know, presenting yourself on a video, I know several of you have done the Google Hangouts with, or Michelle, you were really great on video, and it's a good way to interact with people and have them know who you are as a real person, not just words, but, you know, your face and your whole demeanor. People can pick up so much more on a video. So, and you can do those through Google Hangouts, or which goes, you know, do a Google Hangout. You could just do one by yourself, you know, just like 1 or 2 minutes, and then it goes directly it's recorded onto your YouTube channel. And if you mess up or don't do well on the video, you can always delete it. It doesn't have to stay there permanently. And so, and then the second thing I wanted to mention is that you want to offer something. The second key item is not to just think of sales or marketing or what can I get out of YouTube, that kind of thing, because that can lead to, you know, everyone can sense if you're doing, if you're just there for the marketing, and they'll, you know, may not be as responsive. But the right approach is to ask, well, how can I add value to this group of people here that are, how can I add value to that social media network, add value to my YouTube channel? And the more you give, the more you'll get. So if you can, you know, let's say a news, something in the news comes up, that's a really good time to, say, make a quick video. When the Super Bowl was here a couple weeks ago, everybody was focused on the Super Bowl. So I'm not necessarily an expert on football, but I feel like I am an expert on mental training and peak performance and sports psychology. So I did a quick video on that and got lots of views. And I think I got one client approached me after that. So and when you do your videos on, you know, like a Google Hangout, and then it goes up onto YouTube, then of course you want to, you're allowed one link there, right? And so you put the title, and then you put your description right after that on Google Hangouts and also on your YouTube channel. And you can have the link, right? It's best to put the link to your website to a specific page, like your, could be your home page, but better to be, say, your coaching page, something specific. Or you, if, let's say if you had an article on that same topic on your website, point them to that page. It doesn't always have to, shouldn't always be your, just your home page, but some specific page that is geared toward that, where you want clients to go to learn about you and your services or that topic. So so to point them there, and then you'll have that live link. It's best to put it right at the beginning of the description. So there's a little section there for title and then one for description. So put the link right at the beginning so people will see it right there, and then just do a short little description of what your video is about. And then there's a place for keywords, so you could put in keywords. And it's best to put not just a one or two words, but a keyword phrase. So something like, Michelle, if you're working with tennis, it might be mental training for tennis, tennis players. Or I know Latalia in our group is focused on sports parents as single moms, so it could be those kind of keywords could be put in. I know Daniel is working with golf, and so it could be peak performance for golf players. So put in, you know, your specific sport or population that you're working with, and kind of make a keyword phrase, say three or four words, and that will, if you just put in one or two words like mental training, it's maybe too broad, and there'll be too much competition for people to find you. But if you can put a more specific phrase of your specific population, how to, you know, build your confidence in baseball for high school baseball players, something like that, then it'll get to that particular target audience. And then you can do another video on, for another audience. So I would suggest instead of just thinking marketing, although that's, of course, that what we're doing is trying to get our name out there, what you really want to think of is adding value to and offering some really valuable content so that they get a sense of who you are and what you offer, and that you position yourself as the expert in that area. What it ultimately leads to, the three important things are traffic, like I mentioned, getting people to eyes to look at you and your website, and then leads, people who are you're getting down to the people who raise their hand and are really interested in your services, and then sales, converting someone into a real client. And so the two things that you want to do are find the network, the social media networks that really fit your style, and then add value to that. Create a profile there, and then really add value to that, and point them to your website. So that's the question to be asking yourself: which social media networks do I want to work with, and then how could I add value to those? We'll be talking more specifically here about the, what to do with that, on your website as well. In general, there's the social media like Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat. They're primarily interaction driven. So if you like interacting a lot with clients, or if you want to, let's say you there's a top tennis player that you want to connect with, you can go to Instagram or something, and I know one of our students did that in this program, and there's a top weightlifter that she wanted to was talking about. She's having difficulty with her mental attitude with weightlifting, and one of our students and coaches from this certification program contacted her through Instagram and just sent her, didn't even know her at all, but sent her a message saying, visualization techniques can really help with, your confidence, and I'd be happy to do that with you, to reach out to you. And that top athlete responded to her right away, and she got that client. So it was amazing just by noticing what other athletes are saying on their Facebook page or Instagram or Snapchat or Twitter. You could interact with them that way and maybe offer them a free consultation, a free session, or a free MP3, and then get them and also direct them to your website and then be able to get them on there, get them interacting with you. So those, yeah, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat are primarily interaction-driven, and then things like YouTube. Another video website is called Vimeo, V-I-M-E-O. They're more information and entertainment. So you're actually, you know, offering information, and you can entertain as well. So if you want, if you're good with teaching or entertaining, you want to lean more heavily on those networks. LinkedIn is more also more interaction and information oriented. It's very professional. I think it's a really good place to connect with other people, because it's you know, they know that you're talking about business and not so much about just interacting socially, so you can kind of get to the point quicker there. So those are some initial ideas about which social media websites to go to get people to your website. And then now I also wanted to talk about SEO, search engine optimization, what to do on your website to get people there and to get your website ranking higher. So, but first I just want to check in. I know, Michelle, you mentioned your experience with LinkedIn. Do you want to just share that, what you did with LinkedIn to connect with people? Oh, Michelle, I'm not sure if you're there. If you're muted, you could press *6 to unmute. Okay, maybe it might have fallen off, but we'll hopefully get you back shortly here. But, yeah, Michelle was saying that she's found LinkedIn very professional, very helpful in terms of people coming to the site there, being able to interact with people more in a professional way. So what I wanted to talk about now was the SEO part, how to get people, give you sort of a formula for different things that you can do to attract people to your website. So the most important thing is you want to create value. So create a piece of content that's focused on delivering real value. So, you know, how-tos articles are really good, 10 tips or 5 tips on how to do something, how to build your confidence, how to overcome fear, how to create a positive attitude, those kinds of things. Create a post or something that you want to an article for your page. So your long-term focus for the search engine should be on delivering value to the people that are coming to your website. Because search engines like Google and Yahoo, they really reward value. Everything else is secondary. So you can't just try. One of the things that I wanted to mention with search, the first thing I want to mention also with SEO, is that, you know, I get so many offers, and you may too, from emails from people saying, oh yeah, I'll optimize your website, or I'll get your website to number one ranking, or all these offers. And I would really strongly advise you to not respond to those if it's just someone you don't know that's emailing you. They're trying to make it sound really personable and all, but they are usually they're robots that go out and just go to all these websites and put out the same message, and typically they're not going to help you, and they're going to charge you a lot of money. I know one person I know has paid $5,000 to someone to said, oh yeah, I'll do SEO, I'll get your website to rank number one, and he paid all of his money. And all he got was a report, a 3-page report on what the guy did. So I would Oh, is that Michelle coming back?
No, this is Will.
Is that Willie?
Yes.
Oh, hi, Willie. How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Okay, good. Good to chat with you. Yeah, we're talking about marketing and social media kinds of stuff and how to get people to your website.
Perfect.
Oh, good.
That's right where I am now with my business, right there.
Oh, good. Yeah, so I was just telling people to, first of all, not to go with all these people that are, I get emails all the time for marketing SEO people saying, oh, yeah, we'll get your website to number one. And they usually, I would say, don't respond to those because they typically charge a lot of money and don't do anything for you. And it's best to just do things yourself because it's an organic kind of process where you put high value content on your websites and on your social media sites. That's what search engines are looking for that relate to your specific audience. So, like Willie, you work with football, right?
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you about. Okay. At first, my company was I was gonna name it Omega Elite Sports Performance. But then I thought about what you said. I didn't want to just single it to just sports. So I went back and just said Omega Elite Performance.
Oh, okay.
Now my question is because I would like to also work with academics and also work with like executive coaching as well.
Uh-huh.
But I just wanted to know basically what you thought about that and how I should go about marketing that.
I think that it's a good idea to do both sports and executive coaching with were you thinking of companies coaching executives within different companies, corporations?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a really good thing to do as well because the same principles apply for performance, mental performance, and I think you could have one website and two sections of it. Saying that's the simplest way is to have a section for if you want executive coaching, click here, kind of thing, and have a special part at the top of the website, and then for sports performance, another section so that you divide them out so that everybody's not going to the same place.
Correct.
Yeah, or you could have two websites, which is a little, if you're good at doing websites yourself, that's fine too, but it's a little bit more, work and to keep up two websites than one.
Right.
But you can, it's not a matter of optimizing your whole the website for one thing. You want to optimize different pages for different things. So you on the sports page, you put lots of keywords like sports performance and mental training and all of that for sports. And then on the the coaching, executive coaching page, you want to put keywords, phrases like, coaching for executives and performance in your leadership training, performance in your corporation, that kind of thing. Does that make sense?
In perfect sense, yes.
Yeah, and then you could write articles for, posts for those two different things there, and that way, it can expand your audience. And one really good way to get executive coaching clients is to, of course, give talks, to give presentations for corporations and all, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, so that would be great. So you want to it's nice to have the two different groups. That way, if one is performing better than the other or you're getting more clients from one area, it helps you to cover both fields kind of thing.
Right.
Are you also coaching at a high school?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
I'm coaching high school ball, and I'm also coaching at the park.
Oh, good. Yeah. So you're, yeah, you're really busy with all that, and it's exciting field to be in with performance psychology and performance coaching here, because you're, all of us can do so many things. It's just amazing. You know, the field is expanding. I just got a call, you know, I was mentioning on our last call that someone called about her, the father said his 11-year-old daughter is going to be in the World Championship chess tournament.
Coming great.
With chess, and I thought, I don't have a clue about chess.
But the same concept applies, though.
Yeah, exactly, and you can just go onto YouTube and find out anything. So I said, that sounds great. I'll, and so I've been working with her three sessions now or so, and I'm learning it. She's teaching me about chess. She's just asking a lot of questions, and it's the same, fears and, competitiveness and anxiety that's there with the game, and you just don't have as much physical outlet to get rid of your stress. It's because you're just sitting there.
Exactly.
But interesting. Yeah, last time she, this is the little girl, 11-year-old girl asked me, she plays in chess you can play other people, and then you can also play the computer. You know, the computer can be your opponent. So, it's a practice and that kind of thing. You it's you against the computer and a software game. But it keeps coming up with little, it gives you a suggestion at the bottom. It's like a hint. Here's what you could do in this situation. You could make this move. And she keeps wanting to hit the hint button. She says, it makes it too easy, and then I don't learn anything. I keep hitting that suggest button. So she said, how can I stop doing that? So we worked last time on how to be able to, do that less and less. That kind of thing is something that you can use these kind of principles for anything, and realize that when you're in the real game, with a real person that you're competing against, you're not going to have that suggest button there. You only hit. So Willie, did you have another question about how to work with both of those populations or the executive coach?
Yeah, I mean, because I'm kind of like with you. I have an undergraduate in business, but I've really never had any executive coaching experience.
Uh huh.
So I'm just, like you were saying with the chess. So I'm going to have to, go ahead on and Google some things and, touch bases, on that as well.
Yeah, I think one thing you could do is just offer to give a talk to a local company. Maybe start with a smaller company.
Right.
And, do it for free and say beforehand that you'd like to have get an idea of the kinds of issues that that your audience will be is facing, and say, can I do maybe interview two or three people from the group before you give your talk? And the meeting planner will be happy to do that, so that you can make your talk more relevant and more specific and personal to what they need. Mm-hmm. So then you could get their phone numbers or emails through, that meeting planner, connect with them, and then talk with them about, just ask them questions like, what are your top three or top five stresses in your job right now? And, what are your top three goals? And, what's the top challenges that you have, within your job right now, and then also within the industry as a whole? What people are frustrated about, and here's a great question to ask them. What have you always wanted to ask? What questions have you always wanted to ask a person like me? Meaning yourself, a person that's focused on performance, a performance expert like yourself. Ask them to just be open-ended and ask them to to ask you questions, and that those will be the kind of questions that you can prepare for then for your talk ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
And you could say, what kind of help would you want from a person like me? You know, and so that's really getting at your marketing questions,
mm-hmm.
what people want to know, and then of course down the road, what they'll pay for is for you to solve problems.
Kind of, right.
Yeah, there might be, you know, political issues going on within the company that you could work with. I mean, it's just like football, right, where everybody has to work as a team.
And so exactly.
When you're giving your talk for the a company or a corporation, you know, you could bring in your football examples there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think business is just like sports, that you've got those, you know, competition, you've got stresses, you got to prepare, you have to rehearse, and you have to plan out all your strategies and find out what the other guys are doing and all of that, right?
Yeah.
It's great. And with the internet now, you can spy on your competition a lot better or just look at what other people are doing. I'd encourage you to look into that field, and you give a talk somewhere. Maybe next time, since you brought that up, our next PECI call here will be, today's March the 10th, right? I said 11th, but I meant 10th. But our next one will be March 24th, so we could talk about that more then, performance coaching or executive coaching, if you'd like. So that'd be great, you know, kind of go into that topic more specifically. But what you'd want to do on that page, you know, like create a page on your website, and also, you know, through LinkedIn and, you know, these other Facebook social media sites is, have two different tracks, and you could have, talk about your, even if you don't have experience with executive coaching, you could find out what the, you know, just talk about issues. You can Google it, of course, executive coaching, and what, and talk about the things that, the issues that are coming up with leaders. And a lot of times they, just one thing that you work on with executive coaches is, well, just how their leadership, but also just, taking care of themselves. That's a big, huge one.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. That they don't take time to exercise themselves, and get out and do things. So you could go out and, who knows, you could be playing football with one of your CEOs, huh?
Mm-hmm.
That's
true.
So being able to work with them, being able to handle their stress, you know, teaching them visualization techniques. So that's great.
It's a movie. I'm sorry, it's a series on Showtime called Billions.
On what?
On Showtime.
Oh yeah.
And it's called Billions.
Oh, Billions. And, yeah.
Billions, and they have I believe she's an executive coach or either a psychologist, but she works, you know, in those hedge firms. And she's the one that gets them into the zone so that, you know, they can, you know, make the right picks and, you know, and make money, motivating them.
Uh-huh.
And I was, like I said, you know, I got hooked on the fact that, you know, what she's doing. I was like, now that's what I'm talking about. I would love to be in that realm, because I think she's a psychologist, and she's also has psychiatry as well. But she's mostly just doing, you know, therapy and motivating the clients. And I really, you know, I mean, it was just amazing some of the things, you know, she would tell them about themselves, and then, you know, visualization exercises like you were talking about, and then just, you know, getting those one words, who are you? That's right, you're a beast. So anytime you feel like you're not in the zone, hey, you think about it, I'm the beast. I would say that three times every day before you go to in bed, before you wake up, things like that. So, like I said, it really motivated me.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, you can. You'd be in a perfect position, Willie, and all of you on our call to be into executive coaching, because you're basically teaching people how to believe in themselves. The same thing as with athletes. Yeah, you're the beast. I like that. That's good. Yeah, thanks, Willie, for bringing in that perspective.
Thank you for the insight.
Oh, good. Yeah. So let me go give you some principles here with search engine optimization. Oh, Michelle, I just wondered if she came back on the call. Maybe she was having trouble getting on the call, but she had a comment about LinkedIn. If she comes back on, maybe she can offer that. But with search engines, the different principles to follow with creating content on your website is first, you want to create content that is usable, that has actionable with high utility. So something that, here's 10 things you can do, or, things that people could do right away, put into action. That's important that search engines look for and the people look for. So you think of it as like two set of eyes. You've got the human eyes, and that's just people, your potential clients looking at your site, and then you've got what we call Google eyes, as the search engine eyes as well, which are looking at different things that you can offer, and to put your website higher, rank it higher in that specific area. So content is really key, to content that's actionable with a high usability. And then the second thing is emotion. If you can bring in emotion to your website and to your social media, that's great. Something that's entertaining to others. Third thing is perceived value, information from well-known experts. So, by being writing and being prominent on the internet, you become a well-known expert. So, if someone perceives the value of what you offer is really high, they're going to rank your website higher. And then there's hot topics that come up. If you want to do a rant on a hot topic, that's a good thing. A couple of years ago when Richard Sherman, I remember with the Seattle Seahawks, went on that
run
right after the they won the playoffs. Seattle Seahawks, did this crazy rant on TV about Crabtree and the 49ers here, and was just angry at him. And then that's all everybody was talking about was what Richard Sherman had to say. And so CBS called me right away. The TV station wanted to come over and ask for my opinion on, is this guy crazy? And so I got to talk about that because it was a really hot topic. So something that's very controversial can be something to talk about. Was that Michelle coming back?
Hi, Dr. Joanne. We've actually lost power, and I got in the car and drove around to find a spot with power, and I could reconnect.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I'm glad you're back.
We have a windstorm right now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and we've lost power in the city probably 5 times since the beginning of January.
Huh, wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, anyway, sorry about that.
Yeah, since you're on the line now, I just wanted you to share your experience with LinkedIn that you mentioned. And Willie's on the line, too, and other people.
Oh,
hello.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
I was reluctant to do LinkedIn. I just felt like it was just one more thing to manage.
Mm-hmm.
And but the benefits have just been overwhelming. I set it up just about 3 days ago, and people are connecting with me that are in this field, that are coaches, that they're in the sport business, all around Canada. They're somehow, seeing my profile, and now we're, so my community has gotten a lot bigger very quickly. And I thought that was really interesting. And I was mentioning to Dr. Joanne earlier that sometimes when I read something in the newspaper and I want to reach out to somebody, an athlete or a coach, or, you know, there's the Canadian Sport Institute is doing a really cool initiative right now for leading up to Rio. And I really want to get involved with this director from a sport performance perspective. And I had no way of reaching out to him because I didn't know anybody that knew him. And, you know, I didn't want to do it on Facebook or anything like that because that just doesn't seem professional. And then I go into LinkedIn and, wow, it's just type in his name and he comes up. And then, you know, I can and reach out to him that way. I'm going to do that today. I've drafted up my letter and so on. And, I'll send that to him today. So it's great.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks for sharing your experience with that, Michelle. Yeah, people are more like it's easier to connect in some ways with and get to the point with what you're doing with LinkedIn because people understand it's more professional. It's about business. It's not just about chatting with someone. So, and I had an experience where I was working with a track athlete from Zambia, you know, the country in Africa. Yeah, for the last Olympics, and I wasn't sure. Now it's 4 years later, and I thought, I was wondering, would he be going to Rio? Maybe I could help him prepare again for that, but I wasn't sure how to connect with him, and sure enough, he connected with me through LinkedIn and just said, ask for me to be a connection with him. It was easy to connect there, and I said, do you ask him, just send him a private message and said, I'd be happy to help work with you, and are you still the same phone number and email as before? And he said yes, so that was a way, with the same kind of thing with LinkedIn. People are, I think people trust LinkedIn, and it's easy to connect with athletes there. You can, and if you find an athlete that's interesting that you'd like to work with, you know, leading up to the Olympics or something, you can just, it's easy to, find their name on LinkedIn and then reach out to them there and let them know what you do kind of thing. So, I'd encourage you to do that. So that's a really great way to, and then, you can put on LinkedIn, you can put links to your website. I'd encourage you to give videos, do a short video on Google Hangouts, which is for all free, and you can put those links to your videos on LinkedIn, too, and just anything there. So it's good, they have instructions there about how to do your profile and how to set that up and just try to increase the number of connections that you have. That helps you to, look more professional and that you're more active. If you've got, 100 or more connections, that's a good thing. So, and it just, you can just do that by reaching out to other people that you want, that you know in your profession. One thing we can all do is link to each other, too, ask for each other's connection. I need to be more active myself in LinkedIn, respond to, it's crazy, I've got like 400 requests for connections in LinkedIn, and I need to respond to those. You could just say yes, and then all of a sudden you've got all these connections. But if someone does, here's a tip: if someone does ask for you to be a connection, they might not know you, or it's good to go to their page, find out who they are, and if it looks like they're someone that is just you'd have a mutual benefit by being a connection, then that's good. Send them respond to their request, but also send them a private message. It could be just a couple of sentences or something and just say, hi, thanks for the request, the invite to be a connection with you, and here's a new post that I just put on my website on, increasing confidence or something, or here's a video you might be interested in on how to how to be a better athlete, something like that. That's a little bit more, or I like your work on blah blah blah. you know, something personal that you noticed about them. So that way you're much more likely to get, if you reach out to someone else to get a connection, they're more likely to respond to you because they know, they're thinking, oh, who is this person? But if you tell them a little bit about where you are there, send them a link to your website, then you'll get those connections. So, yeah, I'd encourage you to spend time on LinkedIn, and YouTube is really good with Google Hangouts that go onto your YouTube channel. Is a great, that's all free and great way to build your profile there. I was mentioning that when you do a YouTube video, you put the title in and then put right below that this place for description, and you're allowed one live link there. So always put the link right at the beginning of the description, a link to your website, and not just your home page, but put it maybe to a page that, say, your coaching page, or a page on top 10 tips or something of value. So, yeah, so I want to now mention some other things with SEO. One of the things you want to do is define your keywords that you want to use. And so good SEO is not about just optimizing for a single keyword, like mental training, might be one, but that's too broad, and people might not, there'd be too much competition for that. You might get skipped over, but you want to, target a list of, it could be hundreds or thousands of what I call long tail keywords that are related to the content of your post or page. So it's much easier to rank your website well and get traffic by for the keywords if you have long tail keywords. And that, by that I mean something like 3 or 4 or 5 words long, like mental training for tennis, for high school tennis or something. So it's more specific. It's not just, say, mental training, but it's for, the specific target audience, or self-confidence for college athletes, that kind of thing, would be an example of long-tail keywords. And then when someone types in self-confidence in sports, they'll, get your page can come up. So the more specific you can get with your keywords, the easier it is to rank, because everyone else will be going after, broader keywords. And so the way to do that is to identify, keywords that have, that are 3 or 4 or 5 words long, and use that. And then, you can type that into Google, and then at the bottom, they go down, at the very bottom of the page, it'll have like about 10 other, it'll say suggested other keywords, and it'll give you other examples of keywords that people are typing in. So you can start to then build, and you can maybe click on one of those, and then see what, and go down to the bottom again and see what Google suggests there. And then you can also type in Google Keyword Tool, and it's a free tool to find related keywords. So you can start to build your list of, say, hundreds or thousands of keywords that way that you can use in your various pages. So you're not just repeating the same ones over and over, but you're using a variety of different keywords. So so that's a little bit on defining your keyword strategy. And then we talked about creating value with, create a piece of content that's focused on delivering real value, and then put that on your post. And it should be, you want your focus to be on delivering real value to your end users. And so things like, you want to have content that's specific, that has a real usability for people, not just say not just an article is just all theory kind of thing, but something that's really practical that they can use right away. And because you want to just content is really what Google wants. Google's always changing their algorithms and their rules for what they rank higher. And you see, there's Panda and these different different things come out, and they basically are trying to get rid of just the scammers, people that say, "Oh yeah, I'll just pay me money and I'll rank your website high," and they want you to buy a whole bunch of key links to other people's sites. I would say don't ever do that. Buy incoming links to your site, or those are kind of scams and tricks that webmasters used to do to help people rank higher, to buy all these links from people outside. But now Google's caught on to that, and they punish your website for doing that. They won't rank you as high. So just basically focusing on really good content with your good keywords is what's going to get you seen by people higher, at a higher level. So you want to get your keywords, create good content, and then what's really important with your posts is add links to your posts, both on your website and then on social media sites too. So so you want to add more value to make your post have links. So here's some forms of different things that you could, you want other people to link to you. So if you have things that people want to share, things like videos, you could add your own videos, useful resources. If you have a top 10 list or a checklist or a do's and don'ts list, a formula for something, an audio, those are kinds of things that people will want to link to. So you've got, and you can put a link, say, in on LinkedIn. You could create an audio and put that on your website and then link to that. So that'll, people will want to go from your LinkedIn to your website to get that audio, free audio. You could have a free PDF download of, say, a checklist for something, getting ready for your competition. Some other things you could do are interviews with experts or interviews with a top athlete. Say you've got an Olympic hopeful that's coming up, you want to work with them. That could be something people want to link to, want to find out more about. You could have slides, a quick little slideshow. That's something that people want. Webinars, all those things are like resources and common links that people want to link and know about yourself. They want to go to your website and want to share that with others too. So maybe sometimes high school kid or college kid will be seeing this on your website, and then they want to they tell their parents about it, and then they'll be able to pay for your sessions. Now another thing I want to tell you about is the title is really important. So you write your post on your website or on your social media sites, and then you want to spend a lot of time on the title. So because that's a key, that if you write this great post but nobody reads it, that's not going to be helpful. You want to have a title that really attracts people. So your title and your thumbnail, like if you have a little picture there, those are kind of like the ad for your post. So your post can be make it more compelling. So here's some different methods you could use for that. Things like things to avoid, a pain-focused title that outlines avoided frustration. So, something like avoid choking in your next tennis match or something. It might be an example of a pain that or difficulty that people want to avoid. So if you can think and look at titles of other mental training articles too, and to see what other people are using, and you can get ideas from that. Another method to use is a focused title that outlines benefits. So here's 10 ways to, for example, 10 ways to overcome fear in your golf game. So that could be a title. So something that outlines the benefits, what somebody's going to get out of this. Another example would be a personal title that reveals something about you, like how I got out of I don't know, if I was writing about the Ironman, how I went from crawling to, you know, or say how I went from 19th place to second place in the Hawaii Ironman Triathlon. You know, a personal kind of title, something about yourself or achievements that you've done. Or it could be a title that seems counterintuitive, something the opposite of what people would think. That's something that really attracts attention. You know, how to not do something. You know, something that goes against the grain. It's the opposite of the market's opinion. And then another thing that you could do that helps to gain attention in a title is use resources like Oprah recommends, you know, here's what Oprah recommends for settling down your mind, or you know, it's something that is a big name, or Olympics, you know, Olympic, here's what Olympic hopefuls are doing. So, but use resources that are, you can link to other articles and things that are helpful as well. So that's another thing that's important to do, is to really work on your title. And, you know, just going into grocery stores as you're standing in line, look at the titles of the magazines and stuff, and you can, and then substitute in your own, you know, titles for that, like the women's magazines, 10 Ways to Lose Weight. But take that and change it to 10 Ways to Optimize Your Game. Use the same kind of structure, because they these magazines have spent millions of dollars coming up with the right titles to attract people to their magazines. So then another key point is you want to optimize your post so search engines will see it. So you want to implement some basic optimization on that for that page in particular. So you want to communicate accurately what your post is about, so that you can communicate that to your search engines without undermining their experience. So you don't want to do what's called keyword stuffing, which you know, people used to do, and it's not readable and it's not helpful for the reader. Something like saying, "Yeah, this performance article is all about performance, and I'm going to help you to perform better when you perform." As we talk about performance, that'd be an example of keyword stuffing, where it's just, you know, using too much of the same word over and over again, and it's obvious that it's you're trying to get too much of that in. So you don't want to go crazy about keywords. You just put it in mainly at the top, at the title and at the top of your article. That's where, because search engines read from the top down. And then you always use your target keyword in your title, you know, like best tips for confidence in tennis, that kind of thing. Use that in your title, and then link to relevant pages within your website in the post. So you think of your website as like it's got lots of different pages, and you want people to go from one page to another to stay on your website and learn different things about you. So within one post, link to another one of your pages or several pages in your website in that post. So you're getting the person to understand, to go around your website and find different things. And you want to put your links high up in your post when possible, so put in the first paragraph or so, so that people see them there. And then there's something called anchor text, and that's like if you're going to go to another link, say, to another page on your website, instead of just putting the link to that, you can put what's called anchor text. So you put words, say, if you want to increase your confidence, you know, go here. that might be the anchor text. It's, you know, words that you use in the anchor text, and then you link so that you create it so that when they click on that, it goes to that link on the site. So it doesn't have to be, you know, say the exact link there. It's the anchor text is like words that you put in there that people see, and then when they click on it, they go to your link, and it reads tends to read better that way, and webs and search engines tend to see that anchor text better, more easily. So it's just words that then link to another page, and the words tell what the page is about. So yeah, so those are things, and then you want to just link naturally. Don't force the keywords in, but just use them in your natural the way that you speak to people. So those are some tips I wanted to share with you this time about SEO. And I've got many more tips, so why don't we do more of that on our next call on March 24th here in 2 weeks. And then we can also start talking about, like Willie, you suggested, performance coaching or executive coaching. You know, I can add some things about that as well. How to work with companies and business and use these same techniques in businesses. So, do you guys have questions or other comments you'd like to make?
Go ahead.
Either Willie or Michelle.
Go ahead, Michelle.
This is been really interesting, Dr. Joanne, and I need to sit down and you've inspired me to get to work on this. So,
okay,
I didn't know about the anchor text. That's interesting. Thank you.
Yeah, and if you don't know how to do that, you know, if you've got someone that you can work with that can help you, it's fine. Or if you do it yourself, it's great. It's just basically instead of just putting the link there, the HTTP, which isn't that interesting to look at. You just put other words there, and then just link that to the, that's better for search engines and better for the reader experience too.
Yeah.
For little things like that too. The Fiverr is a great resource. Fiverr.com, which is spelled FIVERR2R@the.com.
So again.
It's called Fiverr.com. Fiverr, like the word fi, but it's FIVERR.com. So it's Fiverr, but two R's at the end. And and it's I know it sounds too good to be true, but it's you can get people to do a work for you for $5. You do a small job, a gig, they call it. You can just go on there and just go on Fiverr.com, and you can just see, put into the search box, like, WordPress help or graphics, you know, if you need a graphic done for something, or Photoshop, fix up photo, those kind of things, you could just put that in, and then all these different people will come up, and their links, and you can see their work, and then select who you'd like to work with, and then you just give them the job there, or, you put in what you want done. And then you pay them through Fiverr. You pay them the $5. I know it sounds like, what, $5?
Oh, my gosh. Can you do that with SEO as well, Dr. Joanne?
Yeah.
Like certain things, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, they wouldn't probably do this huge job for $5. But, yeah, they would do, like a smaller thing, and then you just pay $5 for another thing that you want them to do, and or say, help me optimize this page or something. So you can try that out. And it's, when you're working with someone new like that, it's always good to start with a small job anyway to see how they do and all.
Yeah.
And if they don't, like if you want somebody to do a nice banner for the top of your website, they're great at that kind of thing. Yeah, and if they don't.
What's the name of, spell it again one more time, please.
Yeah, Fiverr.com. So it's F, just like the word five, FIVERR.com. So Fiverr, just like it sounds, but there's two R's at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you can get you just get an account on there. First, you can just check it out by looking at the search box, but you can get an account on there. And I've used them before for you know, I wouldn't, if I was going to like do a brand new website and have them design a website, I don't know if I'd use someone to do that, because that's a big job. But for smaller jobs, things, or to say, you know, graphics or you know, pictures, photos, that kind of thing, or to help you with a link or some specific problem on your website, it can be great for that. So yeah, so that's a good resource there. Yeah. So yeah, Willie, was that helpful for you, or did you have a question?
No, that was great. That was it.
Okay. Yeah.
Where are you from, Willie? I haven't heard you before.
Yeah, I'm from Miami.
Oh, okay, nice.
Yeah. Good. Okay, well, yeah, thank you, both of you, and thanks for, and there's other people on the call, too, that are, I think, muted, so, that are in their car driving. So, yeah, this is great. So we'll talk more about more SEO stuff and marketing next time. As well,
okay,
as
thank you so much.
Executive coaching. Yeah, thanks for joining me, everyone, and Michelle and Willie and all the others of you, and we'll talk and put on your calendar the next one, March 24th, same time, same bat time, same bat channel, as they say.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Have a good day.
Thanks, right. Dr. Joanne.
Okay, thanks. Bye now.
Bye, Willie.
Bye.
Bye. Care.